God is so good. Can you play that? God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He loves me so. He loves me so. He loves me so. He loves me so. He's so good. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. Amen. Absolutely. Amen. Amen. All right. Any songs, hymns that you'd like to sing?
593 I the Lord people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will say. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord, is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I, the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them, my hand will say. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? If I am Lord, if I, Lord, I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart.
Any else? Yes, Elvita. 261, 1 and 3. So Elvita, come on out and for us.
I dance in the morning when the world was begun, and I dance in the moon and the stars and the sun. Then I came down from heaven and I danced on the earth. At Bethlehem I had my birth. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he.
Verse 3.
I dance on the Sabbath when I curse the lame. The people say, they weep and they strip and they hung me high and they let me there on the cross to die. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I lead you all wherever you may be. And I lead you all in the dance, said he.
Yes, Virginia? 707. 707. Verse 1 and 2. Hymn of Promise.
In the bud there is a flower, in the seed an apple tree. In cocoons a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and snow of winter, there's a spring that waits to be. Unrevealed until his season, something God alone can see. There's a song in every silence, seeking word and melody. There's a dawn in every darkness, bringing hope to you and me. From the past will come the future, what it holds a mystery. Unrevealed until his season, something God alone can see.
Maybe one more, quickly, one more. 710. 710. Oh, we're right next to each other. One and two.
Of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our heart beat high with joy whenever we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith. Will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we will strive to win all nations unto thee. And through the truth that comes from God, we all shall then be truly faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be till death.
Amen.
Like to welcome everyone this morning to the House of Faith, and I'd like to say thank you, Colleen, because that was absolutely beautiful. It was gorgeous. And I want to remind everyone to sign in on the red pad in the pew. We need to know that you were here. And pass it back to the center, to the aisle side of the pew. Again, we'd like to know that you're here and hope that you're enjoying us. We have several announcements, and I've got an announcement. I don't want to forget, that's why I'm holding it. Happy birthday to everyone who has a birthday this month. Austin, Brian, Rebecca, Ray, Ron, and Jerry. I'm also going to give a happy birthday to my twin nieces, Lindsay and Carly. They don't live here, but... happy birthday to them. And if there's anyone else who has a birthday we don't have noted, happy birthday to you too. I don't want to forget this, so I'm going to do this announcement first. The Thanksgiving meal will be Sunday, November 24th. And if you have one of these forms, ignore this, I've written all over this one. But they have them in the back, and you need to turn it in because they need a head count, so they know how much food to cook. And so they need that today. You can put it in the offering plates, you can hand it to someone, but please, they do need it today. Also, they need the charge conference forms back by Wednesday, November 20th. And do they have those, Deb? Do you have those, or?
They're online.
Okay, they're online. So please, if you're planning on attending that, get those in as soon as possible. I know the head count is really important for the Thanksgiving dinner. The November newsletter is in the narthex. If you have email and would prefer to receive it that way, or to get it in the mail, you can do that too, but you can pick it up here at the church and do read it. I read it every month because I always find something I forgot or did not know was going to happen. The adult discussion classes in the Camellia Room at 11. Today, they're doing Numa with Rob Bell. And this is a series of short films that explore the world today through the teachings of Jesus. Search, engage, discuss. And I know in this church, you sit down for a discussion, you're going to have a really good discussion. And so I can recommend that heavily. If you like to read, join the book club. It's 10 a.m. The November date was changed to November 26th. They're reading Horse by Geraldine Brooks. And I myself am not going to be there because I have a prior engagement. Meeting, because engagement is pleasant. Meeting, not so much. So please do think about attending with us, because when I just said we have really good discussions in there, we have really good discussions. We sometimes kind of veer off topic, but it's good discussion anyway. It's sort of related. The stewardship period is here. The pledge cards are available. Return it today if at all possible. Again, you can put it in the offering plate in the back, and Susan has those in the back. It's kind of a lavender purplish form, half sheet. and fill that out. This way they can calculate the budget and be ready for the charge conference, because they need to know that. Thanks to everyone who has donated clothes for those leaving prison. No more clothes are needed. Fantastic.
Oh, wow.
If you do have clothes to donate, give them to the Yucaipa Calamasa Family Assistance. But for right now, at least one place is good on nice. Having things that they need or did not need. The next Parents' Night Out is Friday, November 22nd, from 6 to 8:30 p.m., and it's the Thanks Feast. And for all those who have children they'd like to, or maybe you have neighbors or someone who would like a parent night, encourage them to attend. The movie for December will be December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, is White Bird. Julian the Bully from Wonder, and I hope you saw that movie, because Wonder is an amazing movie. He was expelled, he went to live with his grandmother in Paris, and her story changes his life, giving him hope and the courage to be kind. And if you, I'm not gonna tell you any more about the movie Wonder, you need to see it. It's a fantastic movie. Are there any other announcements? Okay, if you would stand as you are able and join with me in the call to worship. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
He provides every need of our life.
He has every circumstance under his control.
He never fails with his steadfast love.
Praise the Lord.
And our first hymn this morning is When We All Get to Heaven, number 701.
Wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansion bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing there'll be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing there'll be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toil of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing there'll be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
And while we're all standing, please pass the peace with your neighbors.
While we are still greeting one another, let us recognize our faithful worshipers who are always there with us. And let us welcome Helen. Helen up in Chico. So good to see you, Helen. Wonderful. And welcome, June and Joyce. We didn't see you, Joyce, last week, but good to see you again. And Bill and April are with us this morning. Also, I'd like you to, when you go out, make sure that you make a little detour this morning, because you will see a surprise. Brian and Jeanine, they are probably the youngest couple in our church, beautiful couple. Brian made a so beautiful wooden sign right above the marquee. He installed it yesterday. It's so absolutely beautiful. So make sure that you go out and then check on it. It's he's done a professional job. And that sign is going to bring a lot of people to the church, I hope. So please check on it. And thank you, Brian. Thank you. And Jinin is a big part of it, because Jinin volunteered Brian to do it. So Jinin, you deserve some credit too. So thank you. Thank you very much. I know. I will take a picture and then put it on the, not news mirror, but at least in our newsletter. Alrighty, we will go to the next faithful worshipers, George. George is with us with a beautiful lady. I don't know who that is.
I do. and I'm going to give you an update. George was in Kaiser Hospital for 9 days, but he's back home now, and that's his daughters Tina and Michelle are both with him. So I think that's Tina, right?
Well, I'm relieved, George, that you haven't found the young girl. All righty, so who do we have? We have Chris. Chris, welcome. Welcome.
Good morning. I don't know if I reported to you, but my mom, about a month ago, we put her in a wheelchair because she was having frequent falls, when she walked around the apartment on her walker. And so we put her in a wheelchair, and she was fairly functional there and relatively happy, but, totally sedentary. Little less than 2 weeks ago, she had a fairly severe stroke. And it incapacitated her greatly. She became bedridden, and she couldn't really move her hands and arms, and she couldn't talk anymore. And so she was not in a very, very good condition, being bedridden, and was also having trouble swallowing food, choking, things of that nature. Well, Mom passed away Wednesday morning, and it probably for the best, because her quality of life was so severely diminished, and we wouldn't have wanted her to linger in that condition for any longer than necessary. So it's probably a blessing that she passed away Wednesday morning. And so my family is grieving and in the process of clearing out her things from the apartment now. So please pray for me and all of my family as we go through this process. Thank you very much.
So I just want to dedicate that first song to Darlene, because when we all get to heaven, it's going to be rejoicing.
Mm-hmm. Please continue to pray for my mother, Loretta. She was in the emergency room yesterday because she couldn't endure the excruciating back pain, and they did give her something stronger, but it's temporary. So please pray for her and my sister, who still has the heart and lung issue. Her name's Judy. Is there medication helping? It's too early to know if Judy's medication is working. She is on two, and they say it can take a month.
On Friday, I seen the new cardiologist. And what's scary about this, there's not enough known about myocardial bridge. It's my main coronary artery. I was born with it, not knowing this. It has wrapped its way around my heart. So anytime I have an episode, it mimics a heart attack, but it's not. And you can't treat it like a heart attack. I wound up in the hospital or in the emergency room on Halloween, and I didn't get no candy. But I spent from 3 o'clock in the afternoon till 11:30 at night, and they had no rooms. And they all scratched their head. He goes, you need to see your cardiologist. Well, we've seen the cardiologist, and he goes, it's really hard to treat this because it does mimic a heart attack, but it's not. He goes, your EKG, your echo, your angiogram, your CDPT counts for your blood, he goes, are excellent. He goes, so to treat it, but to stop when I have the attack, it's just like a heart attack. He goes, for us, it's like you cut your finger and let's put a Band-Aid on your toe type thing. He goes, I'm going to give you nitro to take when you start to have that to see if that relieves that pressure. But normally you don't give that unless somebody's having a heart attack or heart issues. So he goes, this is basically experimenting to see if I have another one, if this is going to help type thing. So just keep us in prayer. It's, you know, they tell you not to stress, but this is stressful for me. I just feel like that this last year has been a hard, hard year with having the cancer, losing the vision in my eye, and this. You know, I know God's got a better plan for me, but it's like, you know, before January 1st, I'd like to see it.
For those of you that remember and know Steve and Joanne Dyerly, I saw Steve and Joanne on Friday afternoon. Steve went to the hospital to have a very routine bypass and valve replacement. And he expected to be there about 4 days, and in fact was in CCU and ICU and hospital for 18 days. He's very fragile still, but he is at home, and he's thrilled about that. He said, no doctor should mess with the Dyerly women, because one doctor had said, yes, you can go home tomorrow, and the following day, the doc said, no, you can't. And that was when Steve said, you mustn't mess with the Dyerly women. For those who don't know Steve and Joanne, Steve was sort of the mastermind of the chair project in Fellowship Hall. The chairs were ancient. And I imagine it was Pastor Phillips who sought him out, and he took the ball and ran with it, and he recruited Mike Hinckley and Bill Harps and I. We cleaned and disassembled 92 chairs and recovered them, and they truly look like new. So that was how I got to know and love Steve.
Well, we're very grateful for both of you, all of you.
a couple weeks ago, Hurricane Rafael went across the western third of Cuba. It didn't do anything to the U.S. It kind of petered out in the Bay of Campeche, but it went across the western end of Cuba as a strong Category 3 hurricane, which is a major hurricane. And again, it knocked out the power grid for the whole country. They haven't recovered yet from Hurricane Ian a couple years ago, which did the same thing. Power grid down there is very fragile. That's the end of Cuba that's flat and narrow, not a lot of land mass. So it really hammered them bad. We have the Key West Methodist Church has a sister church in Cuba that was basically planted by the Key West Methodists years ago, and they're still in touch. It's in Tronque Herradura, which is in the western third of the country where that hurricane went across. So they're suffering pretty bad down there. It's hit pretty hard, and conditions are not good there anyway. But if we could keep the Cuban people in our prayers, along with, of course, Haiti and Ukraine and Gaza and everywhere else that the world is a complete mess. Also, I wanted to give you a little update on my friend Alice Calleja. She says, I'll just read you part of this. Thank you so much. I appreciate your congregation's prayers. I've been praying God will give me strength for the chemotherapy because, frankly, I don't think I have that strength on my own. You know, Alice is a very strong emotionally and spiritually, but physically she's not a real strong person. You know, she's older, and this is going to probably be a hard thing, but you know, she's got a lot of support, so keep Alice and Dr. John in your prayers, too. They would appreciate that.
Need prayers for my cousin Mary's son, Ricky Hayhurst. He has been diagnosed with tongue cancer, and so he's going through experimental stuff right now, see what all they can do.
Hi, my name's Pat Shores. I have a sister, Jean, who recently died in the last couple of months, and maybe a month and a half after she died, her husband died. But she had two children, Stephanie and Jimmy. Before Jean died, Jimmy had left home. He had been living with them, but he and Rocky, his stepfather, never got along, and Jimmy had left home. He didn't have a phone. He didn't have any credit cards or anything. He just left walking. No one's heard from him since. And he has a sister who works down in Fontana area where Jimmy lives. And we all thought, well, he'll go see her at the store when she's working. Well, he's never shown up. So nobody has heard anything about him. So I'd like prayers for Jimmy. Thank you.
Anyone on Zoom, please raise your hand and unmute.
If you would all join with me in a unison prayer. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
And in Jesus Christ, his only Son,
our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Now is the time that we continue our prayers in silence. This is a time that we can pour out our concerns, unspoken prayers, our worries, and our problems unto the Lord. So let us do that. We can be honest in offering our prayers, because it's just between God and us. God knows our need, and God listens to our prayers. Lord Jesus, we often feel like that we are at the dead end. No breakthrough, no escape from our problems. But, oh Lord, we are mindful that you are our refuge. We still have a place to go for our rest. The place where we can find peace. The place where we can feel your presence. So we come to you, O Lord, in prayer. We ask you to touch our hearts, that we may receive comfort and peace from your presence. You are the powerful God, O Lord. There's nothing that you cannot do. We face many problems like we face today, but you delivered us from those problems. You provided a way for us. You empowered us to continue on. You transformed our life circumstances. So, Lord, we come to you asking you to do it again. Do it again, O Lord. You are so good to us. You were so faithful to us in our past, and you still are. We know that you can do it again. So we come to you, O Lord, lifting up our prayers, bringing all our cares and concerns unto you. And we ask you to show us your love, Lord Jesus, your power, your power to heal, your power to transform. Again, O Lord, you are our Creator. You are our Savior. You are our Sustainer. And with you in our life, O Lord, all problems are solved and all the issues are resolved, that we can continue on. So, Lord, manifest your power, showing us that you are in control. By faith, we acknowledge once more that you are our sovereign God, that you have the full control over our life circumstances. So, to you and to your power, we humbly submit. So now we join our hearts and praying, Lord, your full control, as we recognize is good for us. So we pray together now, our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. And now is the time for our Young at Heart moments with Deb.
Today's story is Big Bear and Little Fish. It's a story about Bear that loves being big. She's at the carnival and she wants to win the biggest teddy bear of all, but instead, she wins a fish, a very little fish. What can they have in common? Written by Sandra Nickel, illustrated by Il Sung Na. Bear wanted a teddy bear, not just any teddy bear. She wanted the biggest one of all. Bear got a fish instead. It was small. It was very small. It was so small that it lived in a bowl. The fish woke up and smiled. "Hello, Bear. Is this my new home?" Bear was big. She was very big. She was so big she worried that she might scare fish with her big booming voice. Bear did not say hello. Instead, because it was lunchtime, Bear went inside and made a sandwich. She was gold and liked golden food, especially bread and syrup. Bear did not make lunch for fish. Fish was orange and probably ate carrot muffins and cheese, or tangerines and pumpkins. Bear didn't have any of those things. If only fish were a teddy bear. Bear pulled out her yardstick for her after-lunch measuring. She sized herself up from the tops of her ears to the tips of her toes. She was 9 feet and 8 inches big. Bear did not size up fish. She wasn't sure where to begin. Did you go side to side or top to bottom? And where exactly was a fish's bottom anyway? Bear tried to figure it out, but before she could decide, it was time for her afternoon walk. If only fish were a teddy bear. Bear blew some fluff in the air. She balanced a leaf on her nose. She admired a bush. Bear was pretty sure fish did not take walks. Fluff would land in her water, or a leaf would get caught in her tail. If fish were a teddy bear, Bear wouldn't have to think about any of that. They would just amble and ramble and never once fuss about tails. Bear ambled up a hill and down again. It was a very, very big walk. And all the while, Bear worried that she should never have brought fish home. At last, Bear turned around and headed back. Fish was exactly where Bear had left her. "Hello, Bear. How was your walk? I have to say, this porch of ours is splendid." "I am sorry, Fish, but you cannot stay." "Why not?" asked Fish. "You are orange. You eat carrot muffins and tangerines." "I do like muffins, but aren't you orange too?" Bear peeked at her stomach. It was an orangey sort of gold. It looked an awful lot like a carrot muffin. "I am sorry, Fish. You still cannot stay. You have a tail. A leaf might get caught in it when we go for walks." "Hmm," said Fish. "Don't you have a tail? There, behind you." Bear twisted around. She discovered a bit of fur. It looked very much like a tail. "I am sorry, Fish. You still cannot stay. Most of all, it is because you are small." "Am I? I always wanted to be measured." Bear brought her yardstick. Fish lined herself up from the end of her nose to the tip of her tail. She was 3 inches long. "That is not so small," said Fish. "I am not 1 inch. I am not 2 inches. I am 3 inches." 3 inches is very small. You are so small, you live in a bowl. But don't you live in a bowl too?" Bear looked around. The sky was as round as fish's bowl, only upside down. She looked and looked at her round blue bowl. At last Bear said, "I think I might be small." "Everybody is sometimes," said Fish. "But don't worry, Bear. No matter how small we might be on the outside, we can still be big on the inside." "Oh," said Bear, "I never thought of that." "Hmm," said Bear. "Yes?" asked Fish. "I think I would like to amble a bit more, this time with you. We might even find a carrot muffin." "I would like that," said Fish, "especially if it's a very big muffin." And so they ambled and rambled and never once fussed about tails. The end. May we spend more time looking for things that we have in common than looking for our differences. And may we always remember that we are all small in God's world. Amen.
Our next hymn is "Just As I Am," number 357.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou beest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one but blood, to thee whose blood can cleanse this spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, the foes about, with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Joshua, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. When the entire nation had finished crossing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Select 12 men from the people, one from each tribe, and command them, 'Take 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood, carry them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you camp tonight.'" Then Joshua summoned the 12 men whom he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe. Joshua said to them, "Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, so that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, 'What do those stones mean to you?' then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off in the front of the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the Israelites a memorial forever." The Israelites did as Joshua commanded. They took up 12 stones out of the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, carried them over with them to the place where they camped, and laid them down there. Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all in here in this warm, cozy sanctuary. I almost did not make it this morning. I was working on the broken furnace this past Sunday, and it exploded on me. And I've never seen an explosion right in front of my eyes. I was blown away, and but by the grace of God, I survived. But anyway, we had three technicians come over, diagnose the condition, and they decided that we need a new furnace down in the basement that heat up the sanctuary, I mean the fellowship hall. So we will see that. I mean, I just keep on praying for the leasing the education building, because we're going to generate extra income. It may be a lot more than what we expected in terms of the revenue. So with that income coming in, we can take care of it without any issue. So, but the good news is, remember the new AC, we huge two AC units that we installed, it has a heat pump. So, I mean, even though I'm very frugal in using the electricity so that we don't have to pay the electric bill, but we don't have any choice. So the fellowship hall is now being heated by the heat pump with a new AC unit. We can still have a nice fellowship after the worship. So praise the Lord for that. But I'm glad to see you definitely alive. An elderly couple had dinner at another couple's house. And after eating, the wives left the table and went into the kitchen. The two elderly gentlemen were talking. And one said, "Last night we went out to a new restaurant and it was really great. I would recommend it very highly." The other man said, "What's the name of the restaurant?" The first man knits his brow in obvious concentration and finally said to his companion, "What's the name of that red flower you give to someone you love?" His friend replied, "A carnation?" "No, no, the other one," the man says. His friend offers another suggestion, "The poppy?" "No," growls the man. "You know the one that is red and has thorns?" His friend said, "Do you mean a rose?" "Yes, that's it. Thank you," the first man says. He then turns toward the kitchen and yells, "Rose! What's the name of the restaurant we went to last night?" I lose several pairs of my reading glasses every year, mainly because of my forgetfulness. At one point, I was looking for them when two pairs of reading glasses sitting on my hair and one around my neck. Losing pairs of glasses is okay, but we should not become forgetful about important matters about our faith, including the names of our spouses. The people of Israel were very forgetful, however, and God commanded them to collect 12 stones as a remedy for Israel's forgetfulness. God's intention behind collecting 12 stones and setting them up as a memorial after crossing Jordan was not new. He commanded Israel to celebrate annual feasts to commemorate God's deliverance from slavery. During the Last Supper, Jesus established the sacrament based on the same practice of tradition and teaching of remembrance. We will look at the significance of remembrance in depth this morning. In chapter 4 of Joshua, God told Joshua to select 12 men and collect 12 stones from the middle of Jordan after the entire nation of Israel had finished the crossing. The stones were to serve as a memorial of Israel's crossing the Jordan on the dry riverbed. Now, did God come up with the idea of building the monument only after the completion of crossing? An answer is found in chapter 3. Now, if you look at it, I spoke on chapter 3 last Sunday, and then chapter 3 is before the crossing. Chapter 4 is after the crossing. That's the time difference, right? Answer is found in chapter 3. God gave Joshua several directions for what should occur before the crossing. Sanctify the people. Have the priests carry the Ark of the Covenant to the edge of Jordan and stand there still. And on the verse 12, God said, select 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. Now, before reading chapter 4, you don't know what they were, the reason that they were selected for. And before and after the verse 12, there was no explanation about who they were and what they did. Some may think that they carried the Ark of the Covenant or they were the priest, but they did not carry the Ark, nor were they priests. Let's briefly look at who carried the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was so holy that God designated the Levitical priests, the sons of Levites, as the only carriers. And yet, the Levitical priests still risked their lives because touching the Ark meant a death sentence. To prevent accidental touch and death, the Ark of the Covenant was designed with two wooden poles inserted through rings on its side. This way, when the priests carried the Ark, they only touched the wooden poles and avoided direct contact with the Ark. It was how their lives were spared. Now, briefly, look at these descriptions from the Messianic perspective. The two wooden poles were a hidden symbol of the cross. No humans were to access God, but only through the cross of Jesus. 12 is the number of the Messiah. You know, that's what the number of the disciples was. The stone monuments signify the faith and the foundation of the church that the Messiah was to build. That's a lot of the reflect upon, but I'm going to just skip. The number of priests who carried the Ark was supposedly 4, one on each corner. The selected 12 before the crossing were from each tribe, not from the Levites. Therefore, those 12 men from each tribe did not carry the Ark. Then why were they selected before the crossing? They were already selected before the crossing to get ready to carry stones from the middle of Jordan after the crossing. What does this mean? God planned the setting up the monuments before the crossing. God's planning ahead weighs more on how much God wanted Israel to remember the Jordan crossing. God did not just say it after they crossed the Jordan. God prepared in advance. Shema in Deuteronomy 6 is a part of Moses' farewell address to Israel before Israel entered Canaan. The teaching method of Shema parallels the significance of setting up the stone memorial. The Hebrew word Shema means to listen or to hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. What immediately follow Shema is how they should teach it to their children. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Even to this day, devout Jews wear tefillin on their arms and phylactery on their forehead with small scroll of Shema inside their small box. All these teaching methods aim at remembering and reciting Shema repeatedly whenever and wherever they had a chance. You know, the Israelites had annual festivals, right? Annual festival had an identical reason behind them. God commanded Israel to hold seasonal feasts every year, repeatedly, and commemorate how God liberated them from slavery in Egypt and sustained them during the desert time. The Gospels recorded that Jesus followed the tradition of celebrating the annual feast. His establishment of the Lord's Supper was on the same principle of repetition and remembrance. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, "The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Throughout the Old and New Testament, remembering is the main method to practice the faith. Why did God command Israel to set up the memorial for crossing Jordan and celebrate festivals annually? Because of their forgetfulness. You know what? One thing interesting that I found is that when I type the word forget, the psalm has the most, like a 19 word forget, and then the next one is the Deuteronomy, and under the word forget, God said, "Do not forget," repeatedly, "do not forget what I did, do not forget the Lord." Because they were so forgetful. God wanted Israel to remember God in the promised land and not turn to idols. Because of the forgetfulness of Israel, God made remembrance a lasting ordinance to keep their faith. How about us? Forgetfulness is also our problem. And remembering God's great deed in our past is the necessity because it helps maintain our faith, keep our faith, and strengthens our relationship with God. Remember, we were once in a hopeless situation, but the mighty intervention of God through Jesus saved us. Spiritually speaking, by the grace of Jesus, we cross the Jordan and enter the promised land. We pass the condemnation and receive the promise of eternal life. Remember the goodness of the Lord in our past and realize that God shows us the same goodness today. It does not matter how old we would become. God does not abandon us because of our old age when we can no longer serve God as we used to in our youth with health and strength. Let us not forget that God was faithful in our youth, and He is still in old age. Because of God's unchanged goodness and faithfulness, there are many good things to look forward to when we age. Frank Loebach wrote the following: I have good news for you. The first 80 years are the hardest. The second 80 are a succession of birthday parties. Once you reach 80, everyone wants to carry your baggage and help you up the step. If you forget your name or somebody else's name or an appointment or your own telephone number or promise to be three places at the same time or can't remember how many grandchildren you have, you only need to explain that you are 80. Being 80 is a lot better than being 70. At 70, people are mad at you for everything. At 80, you have the perfect excuse no matter what you do. If you act foolishly, it's your second childhood. Everybody's looking for symptoms of softening the brain. Being 70 is no fun at all. At that age, they expect you to retire to a house in Florida and complain about your arthritis. They used to call it lumbago. And you ask everybody to stop mumbling because you can't understand them. Actually, your hearing is about 50% gone. If you survive until you are 80, everybody is surprised that you are still alive. They treat you with respect just for having lived so long. Actually, they seem surprised that you can walk and talk sensibly. So please, folks, try to make it to 80. It's the best time of life. People forgive you for anything. If you ask me, life begins at 80. You know, someone said, if you see a turtle sitting on a fence post, you know it didn't get there by itself. Look at where we are today. Life has not been so easy, right? Life is hard. In addition, we have many flaws and we make mistakes, not just once, but frequently. Our failings could have altered the course of our lives, but we have reached safely this far. How did we do it? It's not us, but God did it. Let us not forget God's goodness in the past. As God was good to us yesterday, He is good to us today, and will continue until we see Him face to face. Amen.
Now's the time for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. You can put yours in the plate in the narthex or send it into the office. Thank you.
Just a comment. One of the ways that we remember God is to sing. It kind of ingrains the praise in our minds and hearts, and so that's what we're singing about this morning.
Oh. Christ was power of leaves. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
We stand before your cross once more, and we are so grateful for what you did in Calvary for our salvation. May we always be mindful of what you did, O Lord, and remain thankful and grateful to you. So out of thankfulness of our hearts and our lives, we give you this offering, and we ask you to bless it, that it may be used to build your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Please remain standing for our final hymn, I Stand Amazed in the Presence, number 371.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus of Nazareth, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me was in the garden, he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own grief, but sweet drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. In pity angels beheld him, and came from the world of light, to comfort him in the sorrows he bore for my soul that night. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Lord Jesus, you have been so faithful and good to each and every one of us without failing. You were so faithful to us in the past, and you still are faithful to us today. Please, Lord, give us this assurance of your goodness and mercy that you made available for us, for our loved ones, for your church, and for this community and the world. May we hold on to your goodness and faithfulness regardless, so that we can be steady on our feet. Give us assurance of your presence in our life with the goodness and mercy. Send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Oh, now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Know he will guide you in all you do. Go now in love and show you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there, watching from above. Go now in peace, in faith, and in love. Amen. Amen. Amen.